verses of text, two opposing verses of scripture. First one is found in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And then I want you to turn back with me to Exodus chapter 4, and verse number 10. Praise God. Oh, my God. The theme of this message this morning is the effect of God's working on a man's life. Amen. The theme of the effect of God's working on an individual's life. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Now I want you to bear in mind what this singular verse says. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Those three things are very important. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, the greatest nation on the planet at that time. He was learned in all their wisdom. It says of him, he was mighty in words and in deeds. Now turn back with me to the Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. He is met with God at the burning bush. They are in conversation. God to man. God speaking to Moses. Moses responding. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now that doesn't sound like the man we read about in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, does it at all? Let me read his response again. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Father, we thank you this morning, dear God, for the delivery of your word. We thank you for that anointing necessary for this hour. Thank you for this precious people before us and the ongoing work of your will in our midst. We pray, Father God, that you would employ this ministry this morning, dear God. We pray that you'd speak your word through us into the hearts of your people, your church. Father, we'd cleave to, oh God, minister your word into our lives. Give us that anointing necessary to receive, to respond. Dear God, we'll give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to take here for a little while. I want to talk to you about Moses and God's effect upon a man's life. Moses, as we've read in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, is a concluding statement over the first portion of Moses' young life. We know the story well, how that he was drawn up out of the water. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh, became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She called him Moses because she drew him up out of the water. It is said here in this passage, we've learned from historical record past, that Moses was a mighty man of great valor. He was in great place in state and government among the royal household. Many things were done by and through this man. Many things were said of him. He was placed in very strategic positions in the ministry of government and the office of the king. A man mighty both in word and in deed. If you were to profile Moses, he was one of those characters. You know, today they've got those reality shows. Moses would be a man often sought for. He would be one to sit down in front of Larry King Live and ask him questions, and they would seek after his words. You would find his quotations in books and magazines and newspaper articles. He would be one that would be invited to appear in particular places of business and media and all of these events. There may be clothing named after Moses, that the young men of the city would posture themselves after this man of state. He many things would come to him. He had a mysterious past. There were some things that were unknown by him. He didn't look as Egyptian as the rest of them. So there was a mystique about this man Moses. So much entailed here. There was certainly an endeavor of his kind, as usually would personify someone having come outside of rank into rank, knowing that there was a mysterious past. I don't know the hush of his life over those things of past, that you were once a Jewish child, that you were weaned by your mother who was a Jew. I drew you up out of the water. I don't know how much Moses was told by his Egyptian family at that time, but the Bible declares to us that he became a man mighty in words and in deeds. Now later on we know that he is exiled because he has killed an Egyptian. He's now been on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. He's been there, locked away there. 40 years he's been on the backside of that wilderness. He has not entered into Egypt for all that time. He has not seen his family. He has not returned to the palace. He has no outside conversation. There are no ambassadors of goodwill that will share with him the present state of things within the kingdom. He has no inside influence, none whatsoever. Totally removed and isolated to this singular locale. He has now become son-in-law to a man who is a herder of sheep. He is married into a family. Their lifestyle and occupation is altogether removed than what he once knew that brought him into statures of greatness. Moses is now altogether a different man. His response to God on the backside of the wilderness at the burning bush gives us some declaration in one single verse. He says, "I am not eloquent, a man mighty in words and deeds and learned in all of the way of Egypt is not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servants." In other words, I wasn't eloquent before you started talking with me, and I'm not eloquent now. He had lost sense of the person that he once was altogether. He had lost any awareness of it. It would go on in later verses, just two verses later, he'd say to God, "Send somebody else." After all of this, finally the Lord became frustrated with him and said, "I know your brother can talk." And he sent Aaron out of Egypt to come toward Moses. But he became frustrated with him. And he said, "Send somebody. I'm not eloquent. I can't do it. I wasn't eloquent before you spoke to me. Neither am I eloquent now." A man who was once declared mighty in words and deeds and great prominence within the state. Now, saints, this morning, this is a great clash of things. There's a great contradictory of statements of text. We find one altogether removed from another. But I want to preach to you this morning about the effect of God upon a man's life. There was a purpose by divine God upon this man Moses' life. He had an important thing he wanted to do. There was an important work, a great importance. One third of his life was spent in state. One third of his life was spent in the wilderness, and one third of his life was spent as the emancipator of all Israel. This man had a very important position that he must be honed for. He was the only man on the planet that God spoke with face to face. The Bible said he was the meekest man in all the earth. Many things had changed. Once upon a time, Moses killed a man with his own hands. Now the Bible would later declare of him that was the meekest man in all of the earth. Things had dramatically changed in Moses' life. Now, saints, I just want to depict for you a little while the transition in between. When God takes the direction of a man's head, the ministry of his will, the declaration of his person, of who he is, and begins to alter and hone that in the direction of his purpose, God had to hone Moses into the man that he would eventually become, not the man that he was. The man of mighty words and deeds could never hope to accomplish God's divine purpose. He tried within himself to accomplish some sentiment of that. But in so doing, he accomplished nothing but destruction and annihilation. He calls the Jews to say, "Would you kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" He now knew the deed was known. He fled for his life in the middle of the wilderness. In himself, he set out to do something good and failed miserably. Friends, how many times have you and I sent some call, some drawing of the Spirit of the Lord? And we try in our best endeavor to accomplish something within ourselves to bring that to pass. We lay a hold with hand and heart to set out to accomplish some endeavor of God's purpose for our lives and fail miserably. In that failing, we feel like we cannot do the will of God. That failing threw Moses into a wilderness. He's there for 40 years. Now, I want to illustrate for you just a little bit. For a little while. Now, put yourself in Moses' shoes. He's come out of Egypt, but Egypt's come out with Moses. He came out of Egypt, but Egypt has not yet come out with Moses. Come on, has not come out of Moses, but it came out with Moses. Amen. He's come into the wilderness. He is of a stature. He is of a mindset. He has a particular type of fortitude. He has a force of nature. He has a resonance of voice. He has a posture of all of this that has taken place in his life. If you were to look on Moses at the time, you would see an humbled Moses, but still yet you'd find a great one. You would look upon him and his stature. Those that he would run from the mouth of the well would do so because they could see within the posture of this man's life. Obviously, he is a man of ability, perhaps a man of war. He's called by his father-in-law says, invite him to the house. He later on becomes son-in-law to this man. But there are events that begin to shape and take place in Moses' life. Things that will cause to transpire within him, to cause him to be honed from the man that he was into the man that God desires that he should be. How are you going to take a man mighty in words and deeds and get him to the place where he cannot believe that he can even speak in front of a crowd? How are you going to do that? Events must shape and alter this man's life. Something must take a hold of this life. God knew who he was. God knew that oil was in his life. There was a purpose marked by God, etched upon Moses' very character. You're going to carry my word. You'll be the emancipator. I'm going to deliver my people by you. The saints, sometimes we confuse God's will as to our own ability. We confuse God's purpose upon our life and the ability to achieve it on our own merit. Moses could see somewhat within himself. And how many times have you and I set out to do the will of God with what we have already? God has a purpose beyond our ability, but all we have is our ability. And so we set out to pursue and fulfill the purpose of God. Quick, we realize it is a shortfall in its ability to accomplish God's desire. I don't have it. After a while, we begin to look upon our abilities in great dismay. It appears that God cannot nor will he use our best efforts. Therefore, we're cast into exile. Now, none of us in this room have been driven into the wilderness. We're not set apart from our family and friends. In so many ways, we're not driven into exile for fear of our life. And yet, there have been times within us that we've endeavored to accomplish God's will, but we cannot in the purpose, in the person who we are. Therefore, there's got to be a honing in that character. Something has got to change in that life. Something's got to be different. Now, I can imagine Moses has come out into the wilderness. He don't know what to expect. Take a sword, put it in a sheath. Bind yourself, look strong in front of your enemies. A military man has a military prowess. He has military thinking. Therefore, you don't show a sense of weakness. He did not at the mouth of the well when the other herders came. He showed strength and presence of character. Well, something's got to be checked by that. He is in strength, perhaps his sword is upon his side. He looks like a military individual. Somehow that's got to be eaten away with time and frustration and situation and the lack of opportunity. He looks upon himself as a military man. There are no wars to fight. There are no battles to win. There are no enemies to there are no cities to take down, nothing to defeat, nothing to destroy, nothing to defend. After a while, you lose the necessity of the sword. So therefore, you lay it aside. I didn't need it yesterday nor the day before. There were no wild beasts coming out of the field that hindered by any way. A throw of the stone rammed the last thing that would try to devour the sheep. So the sword has no use to me. You look around and there are no cities. There are no people to minister to. There are no groupings, no individuals, and nothing. No words to articulate. There are no speeches to make. There nothing of that at all. After a while, you talk less and you think more, and you look and you envision and you see. How many times would his mind go back? Perhaps there were occasions when he'd go into his room, take his sword from the sheath and just wave it about, or practice stance and go through the motions of what he once remembered. Egypt was a pain to him for perhaps months, even years, and then finally some remembrances would come back to him, some special events that took place in his life that caused him a sense of enjoyment, honor and respect, friends that he'd had, people that had endeared themselves to his life. But after a while, he began to forget their names. He couldn't recall them. He couldn't ask his wife who they were. He couldn't ask his father-in-law. There were no friends. So he forgot their names and snapped his finger at time trying to remember or recall. There were battles. And who was that with? There were cities. But what was the name of that city? Abilities that somehow he began to lose. As he began to age and things came into his body, there was no need for the trimming of his body, his need for the muscles and strength and authority and all of these things. There's no need laid upon it. Saints, you and I rise to needs. We rise to challenges. We've got to be challenged by things that cause us in this human nature and character to arise. There were nothing challenging him. Nothing. He'd wake up in the morning much like he had laid his head down the night before. He'd wake up to the sound of the bleating of the sheep. The only great necessity upon his life was to move them from one area of grass to another, to watch out for those things that might come in to destroy or to kill. And slowly but slowly, Moses ceased to be the man that he was, and he was changed into the character of his environment. After a while, through lack of speech, he lost the ability to articulate. His words became few, only among those among his family, the endearments of his wife, kindnesses of his father-in-law, the cherishing of his children, those people in the village, and the silence of the wilderness. After a while, he began to take on the persona of the whole environment that he was cast into. And yet God had a divine purpose for that life. Church, can I tell you this morning, you may be in such an occasion where God has taken you and given you an about face to everything that you've done, everything you've been, and everything that you've known. So much that has been the power of your life. If someone were to characterize who you were, perhaps they would say in so many ways, a man or woman mighty in words and in deeds. But all has been erased to the point that Moses believed that he could not just not speak now. He couldn't speak before then. He forgot the man that he was. After a while, you look in the mirror and all you can see is what's before your face. You can no longer look in the past because years and time has removed that ability. You learn to forget. And after a while, all of that removes. That was somewhere in the past. No longer does he take the sword out, but his children look at it from time to time. Or maybe he's hidden it altogether. God would only know. All of these things begin to fade from his memory as he begins to be removed from the person that he was. But God has not removed a call simply because he has removed a character. Things have changed inside of this Moses. He's being alternated from the man that he was. Now, rather than wearing the regalia of the state and of royalty, now he wears the humble robes of the shepherd. Things that were much mattered to him then. You know, in military, they bounce that quarter on the bed and man, that thing better be straight. Everybody marks in line. You learn the registry of the voice and the caring of who you are and your posture. After a while, it doesn't matter anymore. Why do sheep care about that? What does that matter to wolves? My wife doesn't care about that. It's not necessity anymore. I'm not challenged by anything. And after a while, the shoulders begin to stoop. He takes on age. Perhaps he gains some weight. He lost the familiar register of his voice, and his voice began to soften. After a while, he began to look at things different. After one day, he didn't even think like Egypt anymore. He thought like the wilderness. And after a while, he began to believe that this is all he had ever known. And saints, that's important for such a man. Because the only way you can hone that character is there has to come a place where there's no bridge to the past. It's only what you know. It's when God has thoroughly honed it in. That's the full canvas of your life. It's what God's after in the present, not in the past. Hear me, church, many times if we've seen greatness in the past of our life, but we're not seeing it now, we want to retreat back to those better times. We see a better time at a better place. And as long as that's carried on inside of our mind, retreat can come at any time in the middle of God's divine will. Therefore, God has to bring a man with such a purpose to such a place. Well, no longer can he remember what he once was, but only who he is. And he's cast down in his own eyes who he is. The loss of memory takes his thoughts away. The confusion of times, what day it was, what day it is now. What difference does this make? And there must be a fighting in the midst of this. We don't only learn this from Moses, but we learn something more. When God begins to hone a character, when he removes somebody from a place, everything that depicted who they were, the thing that brought them respect and gratitude, the very reason people looked up to them and admired them, all has been removed now. Moses is not a man, in most many counts, to be admired. Perhaps he was responsible. Perhaps he was loving. Perhaps he was kind. Things were honed in him that were never particularly important to him before, I'm certain. Things became strong in him that were weak in him before. But not in matters of state. Not in matters of dealing with people. He became a man that within himself was cast down in the sight of purpose concerning God's will. Saints, when you and I finally get to a place where we're moldable in the hand of God, all we have left is, God, I'll do it if that's your will. That's all. I have nothing to offer you. All I've got is a staff in my hand, and what is that concerning your will? All I have. There's nothing to run back to. I have no eloquence. It's not there. There's no power, no prestige. I can offer you no position. I can offer you no person of honor nor ability. I've lost all sight of that. I'm simply a shell of the person that I once was. But God was honing a character inside of him. He was building a person inside of Moses that God could talk with. Now, God couldn't talk with the Moses that he once was, but he could certainly talk to the Moses who he now is. Come on, church. There are times when you and I have rushed out in our abilities and our know-how. We've become something. We've amassed something. We've achieved something. We've created something. People know us by particular virtues. But God has a divine purpose, and in that purpose, he cast you on the backside of nowhere. Now you have no ability to draw from strength. There's no audience listening on. There are no virtues that people are hanging to or drawing from. But you're cast into silence and separation and forgetfulness. And oftentimes you'd run back there if you could, but there are no bridges to the past. For your last recollection is, I'm an exile. I'll be an imprisoned man. I could lose my life. That door is cast off. There's no bridges there. God cuts off all access. You're cast into this circumstance for God would hone you into the purpose and the person that he will use. Now God meets him on the backside of that wilderness at the burning bush. He's dealing with a man that he didn't deal with before. God opened his eyes to look across the vast terrain of Egypt and see his people in slavery, and his heart was pricked. But in his own ability, he set out to minister to his people and utterly failed. That failure drove him into the wilderness, but God picked him up there. And there in the wilderness, God began to hone him. He began to take out of him the things that would only frustrate the work of God in his life. Saints, aren't you glad, church, for the grace of God, that when he sets out to use a person, if you and I simply give ourselves to God, God won't give up on us. It's only when I say no to God and I will not do it that he quits on our account. But as long as we're willing to be used by God, he'll never give up on us. Amen. And if I don't have the ability, if I put myself on the potter's wheel, he with his strong hands will mold me into the individual that I've got to be. If you believe it, can you say amen? Come on, church. Amen. Moses is there. He can't even talk. I don't know if you've faced such times, perhaps you have, or perhaps you have in certain areas, where your strength in that area that you once had is now gone. And it's not only gone, it's that you lost it, but that you don't even believe you ever had it in the first place. That was Moses. A man mighty in words and deeds and learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. He said, I'm not eloquent. I wasn't eloquent before you talked to me. I'm not eloquent now. God, I have nothing to draw from. Moses went a bit too far. He had lost confidence altogether to the point he was willing to lift up an argument for which God must contest with rebuke. There were times he contested Zechariah, and when he said, I'm going to give you a son by the name of John. God finally had to contest Zechariah with rebuke. So had he had to contest Moses with rebuke. I know your brother can talk. Send for him. He became angry with him. And when Moses sensed God's anger, he knew God had a purpose on his life. Saints, it is a dangerous thing, and I'll only throw this in as an addendum. When God begins to hone you for his purpose and his direction, don't ever lose sight of the will of God upon you. Never lose sight of the oil of God's anointing. David could have lost sight of the oil of the anointing and became a different character from the response of God's will for his life. While he's fleeing from cave to heather bush, running from Saul the king, but he never lost sight of that anointed call upon his life. Neither must you lose sight of such anointing. For there will come a time you'll meet God at a burning bush. When it's time to turn, the leaves of the pages have turned. That bush was a hinge in Moses' life. Things are going to change dramatically now. I saw you for the first third of your life. Opened your eyes to a need, but you didn't have the ability to minister unto it. I had to draw Egypt out of your life. I cast you in the wilderness for another third of your life, but it's the last third of your life that I'm going to use you dramatically for my purpose and for my kingdom. I brought you out here in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of nothing, and I shut everything down on you. Saints, I'm telling you, I've labored over this so many times. I thought, God, in the middle of involvement in all of these areas, now, God, I question myself on all of these areas. In the midst of ministry, these things ought to be going on in the church. It ought to be lively and responsive and strong. I said, God, you're going to have to answer me on this. And this message came into my heart several days ago. Not just the message, but the text. My mind went to this. A man who's learned in all the ways of Egypt, mighty in words and deeds. I'm not saying it another time. I was such a man. But I can equate myself to the purposes of confidence in which all men are drawn into. But then his answer to God in that burning bush, I'm not eloquent, I can't talk, I couldn't before and I can't now. Saints, you can lose sight of all that you were, but you cannot lose sight of the purpose of God upon your life. If you believe it, could you say amen? You cannot lose sight of that. If we lose sight of that, saints, we might as well turn the lights off, close the doors. They're different in another. That's only the hand of God, saints, that we must respond to. It's about whether you and I are in the will of God or we're not. Are we where we're supposed to be or we're not? Are we doing God's will or we're not? Are we in the purpose of, does he have a will for my life or doesn't he? Is there a purpose and a call upon us? Moses didn't know at the time he was cast into that circumstance. You may very well be cast there. Circumstances have transpired. You've looked at your life and you've said, if somebody would have told me life would have been for me a few years ago as it is now, I never would have believed that my face was headed in a different direction. I had other things on my mind. I expected a different outcome. I thought things would play out differently, but now I know I'm in God's will, but I'm not where I want to be. Things are not taking place in my life like I want. And you struggle in those times and you seek the face of God. And you've got to have an answer, and your answer's not like everybody else's answer. Come on, church. It's simply not like everybody else's answer. Every time I've tried to size myself up by minister friends that I know very well that are very sincere before God, what's going on in their life, try to size myself up. The question is, how do I size myself up? How do you size yourself up? I'm not just preaching to me, saints. I'm preaching to us. How do we size ourselves up in the face of all those about us? We're either in the will of God or we're not. We're pursuing the purpose of God or we're not. Come on, saints. But God must hone a character. In that time, he must speak a word into our life. It is at that moment, God, I didn't realize, but he was already playing over in my mind a week or so prior. These thoughts and the contradiction of these thoughts. Here is a man that the Bible declares in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And the Bible is no lie. A man learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, mighty in words and deeds. That's what it says of this man Moses. And yet here in this chapter and in this book, Exodus chapter 4 verse 10, he says, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since. Thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He was altogether a different nature of a man.
Saints, it's the accomplishment of that. You've got Egypt. You've got Israel has been in Egyptian captivity for 400 years. It will be 430 years before they're released. But there is an ambassador of change. There is an emancipator. There's a person. God's going to raise up a prophet, and he must raise up a people in this hour. There must be a church. There must be a call. There must be a purpose inside the life of a believer. God's going to have to hide men and women across this globe to do something different that's being done at this time. Not for the sake of difference, but something's got to be changed inside of us. God's got to change the prophet before he can change the people. God's going to change that minister before he can change the church. God's going to change that church before he can change this world. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Saints of God, in this time, I'm not crazy about loneliness. I'm not crazy. I like being in the middle of things. I like things going on around me. I like stuff happening. And when it's not happening, things are not going on, bothers me. It casts me into an environment that I'm not crazy about. Casts me outside things normal. I have multiple of friends to call on the phone. The phone calls ringing, friends calling in, cards and the letters coming, things going and doing, places I've got to be, things I've got to do. I enjoy all that. Saints, I enjoy that. I like being all that. I like going and doing these things happening. But when you cast into a change, you're going to have to deal with that. How do you deal with that? We've got to deal with the purpose of God in mind. We'd alter that purpose to pursue. Saints, I realize as I'm preaching this to me and for us, I'm preaching it to you and us. Amen. Circumstances change in our life for which we must grapple with. But what's the end goal of God's divine will? What's he up to inside of us? What is the purpose that he would exact it in our lives? What's he drawing us into becoming? Amen. What's he doing in it? There are times I've had to lay aside the normal for the reality, that which was for that which is. Amen. Honing my present by the present. Amen. By the circumstance at home that moment, choosing otherwise but finding no ability to turn that way. I must digest what's right in front of me. Saints, there are circumstances that have transpired in your lives as of late. You've had to digest new ground and new circumstances. You've had to deal with realities you've never had to deal with before. You've had to see God in some ways you've never had to see him before, and we're forced to pursue God along avenues and routes that we have not had to pursue him before. But in that pursuing, he's enlarging us to be the people that we're called to be. If you believe it, can you say amen? Saints, there comes a time. I preached to you along this line this past Wednesday night, that the only way to cross the Jordan is you've got to have the ability before you get there. It doesn't become an ability when you're standing at the banks of the water. But you've got to be honed into the kind of individual that you'll be to cause you to be a river crosser before you get there. That wilderness has to hone something inside that life. I preached to you about David, who gave God a song of praise, of deliverance over Saul and of all of his enemies. He was in a time of recollection, but the promise had come to him in the midst of the circumstances. God had revealed himself in those times and in those trials. So is God endeavoring to reveal himself to you and I in fresh and in new ways. We're forced to deal with circumstances we'd rather not deal with. But in the dealing with, as long as we keep that purpose of God intact, he is delivering us into a new kind of individual. I'm not talking about the latest and the greatest. I'm talking about the enlarging of the person that God has called us to be, to grapple with the circumstance that lays before us. There have been times I've said to God, Lord, I'm not sure that I'm able to do it once you reveal it to me. I cast myself on your ability alone. I find no treasure inside of me to draw from, God. There is no innate strength in my life to accomplish this thing. And my mind reverberates of what Moses said, but I cannot lose sight of the ability and the anointing of God upon our lives. When God opens the door and says, run, saints, we've got to have our tennis shoes on. Come on, church. We've got to have a willingness of heart
in mind. I want nothing preventing my spirit. I don't want no sense of failure or lack or longevity to hinder the days that are ahead. But God, help us to maintain the purpose of a divine God. What God started in you, He wants to finish in you. Amen. And the call upon your life, He certainly wants to bring it to pass. There will be no diminishing of those things. For the spies will come back one day and say, that land is greater than anything you ever told us about. Come on, church. You'll drink milk and eat honey when God brings you on the other side. But it's the honing of the purpose, and it's the people God's calling us to be. Saint of God, there are times we'll look back, and we'll look back over the journey, and we'll say, thank God for the wilderness, and thank God for the lonely place, and thank God for the hardship, and thank God for the trouble. For if I had not gone there, I could not come here. Come on, saints. If you believe that this morning, lift your hands with me across this room. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Father, I'm not preaching about yesterday nor tomorrow. Just today. For today causes me to overcome yesterday and hones me for tomorrow. I cannot lose sight of the purpose today. Sometimes I lose sight of tomorrow. And sometimes I forget yesterday. But I can't lose today. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. Now, right now, right now is the time, oh God. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as you have tapped these things upon all of our lives, you've played these things on our minds. I pray, Father God, in this room, Jesus, we'd allow ourselves to be honed for the purpose for which we're called. Oh, God. I'm asking my wife to come to the piano. We're shut in with the Lord. You're shut in with God. Every eye closed, just always getting your mind off everybody else and just on Him. You're here. I'm certain that Moses...